And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind. A moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head. See if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So growing up, a lot of the times I was the new kid in school, getting transferred around, and it didn't seem to matter too much. Not that I was out to be the popular kid, wasn't always the loner kid, wasn't always an outcast. Able to get along with most people most of the time, up until I moved out to Washington State. And that's kind of where I discovered class, or the existence of class. It's not that I was not unaware of people in other walks of life having significantly larger amounts of money than my family came from, but growing up through all the schools that I went through, most of them at least, everybody was more or less on the same playing field. I'm sure there were plenty of people who made more money than both of my parents did, but you couldn't necessarily tell it right off the bat. Clothes didn't really kind of set one apart. But coming from Tennessee as a kid and moving to Washington State, I stuck out like a sore thumb as far as being the new kid in school goes. The way I dressed and definitely how we were raised said that I was not from Washington. I was not one of the cool kids. Definitely did not have money. And it was what it was. I fell into where I came upon all the friends that I had. Wasn't out there hanging with the crowds that were driving their parents' Lexuses or Mercedes to school. No, hanging out with the Chevy and Ford kids. And I'm not sad about that. Kind of the atmosphere I feel I belong in. I felt that Tennessee was my kind of reality. And where I grew up, the socioeconomic level I identified with. And so these lower class peasants I got to hang out with that became my good friends out in Washington, we all kind of agreed on the same kind of principles of things. Work hard for life and we'll make it someday. Definitely no handouts. But now that I've moved back to Tennessee with my Washington culture coming with me, almost comes off like a stink, or so it seems. And I say that in jest. Because at a level, I am a little bit more successful than the crowd here that, even though I haven't run into old friends, it's the crowd that I left. I actually hung out with people the other day that more or less would have fit right in. I would have been exactly right where they are had I not left here and then come back. But my attempt to find my new group of friends, going out and attempting to socialize with the minimum amount of funding that I have and not too much of an extrovert, so it becomes even harder, but I'll find my way. But creating a presentable individual of someone who's able to be come up to and talk to, BS about, definitely when my vehicles are being driven around and I've got to stop and do stuff that's around the vehicles, I get talking. My vehicles seem to do a lot of talking for who I might be, what kind of person drives this car, but also with how I dress. Now, out in Washington, I didn't have much time for going out and dressing up time, and if I did, it was kind of lazy. But at the other times, I would definitely enjoy dressing up, not getting all super fancy. Court required a suit and tie, so definitely need that. And maybe if I partook in a wedding, dress up for that. But going to the casino, you put your nice shoes on, you put your nice shirt on, put some nice pants on. Maybe it's your Sunday best, maybe so much. But to become presentable, going out on the night, and even the stuff that I would dress up in out there would not distinguish me as a higher class. I would just merely be one of the lower class people kind of dressing up. It's kind of like the difference between the polo shirts with the guy who's actually on the horse and the polo jockey and the alligator. Or maybe if there was even another version of those clothes, was there one with a little sailboat? Make sure that they know you're an imposter. But it was what it was, and you dress up, you look nice. You want to look presentable. And those mediocre clothes out in Washington put you in a different class out here in Tennessee, especially the places that I choose to frequent, the people that I feel I might connect with the most. That fancier dress style lends itself to a higher class out here, the kind of people that would go to tennis clubs, maybe a yacht club if they've got yacht clubs out here. And that's not to say that that's a bad thing either. Mingle with who you feel you will most connect with. No point in creating a hassle. But at the same time, there's nothing to say that you might not actually, or you might actually meet someone of a different class that you might actually become really good friends with, even though you don't dress the same. And so I find it kind of funny that in my attempt to go out, try and meet people, just random people, just trying to say hello, trying to be presentable, I have to be careful not to class the joint up, not to look too fancy. But at the same time, I don't want to look like I just punched off the work clock. But at the same time, those are the same kind of people I might actually connect with. And so we look at the fact that, is it a fact that clothes make the man? Clothes give us a introduction to who we might be talking to. It's easy to see whether or not someone might be a plumber or a welder, a mechanic, merely by looking at scratches or the grease on their forearms and knuckles. Do we look at people with suits and ties? What is a suit and tie job anymore? Maybe without a tie, you might be a programmer. I think a tie might lend itself a little bit more towards a salesperson, but that might even be a little bit too uppity, at least for down here, local Ford dealerships. Not if I'm going to go buy a Mercedes, though. I want to make sure that salesman is in a suit and tie. When we walk into hotels and restaurants, we look at the servers and the host or hostess, the receptionist, dressed in a professional manner, or are they kind of put together all lackadaisical? They sit in there swatting bees from their head. Does that mean that they're a bad person? Or is that the kind of clientele that they choose to interact with? The price point? Not everybody is priced to keep the riffraff out. Some people got to deal with the riffraff. The riffraff doesn't mind as much. Or maybe they do. Got that high-class riffraff. Thugs and mafias need to be extra presentable, extra professional how you look. It's kind of funny, again, to take a point, reflect some of the times that I've not tried to dress up, put on a collared shirt. I like to look nice. I like to go be out presentable, maybe see if someone will actually talk to me looking like I do. And I go out and I try and talk to people and they treat me, because I come up to them, I talk to them as I do, as a lowly blue-collar worker. And they look at me like, again, I should be some yacht club tennis playing goofball. It's kind of sad. Coming from here to a place in Washington where I was the lower class, and at some level I've been successful and I've moved back here. And now I'm no longer welcome with the people that I would consider myself to still be on par. I know my neighbors respect me, even though they kind of look at me as, at some level, look at me as some guy with some success. They see me out there working. I'm not out there hiring landscapers. I'm not taking my car to the shop. They see me wrenching on it. They kind of leave me be. They let me do my thing. And they know I'm a hard worker. At least that's what they lead me to believe. But then again, they get to see me day in and day out, essentially, when I'm here doing my work, doing what I do. It's the people that don't know me, all in that great, wild unknown, that you have to find a way to impress or represent yourself. Again, you can't be going out with holes in your shoes and scraggly hair and be able to go talk to whoever. But at the same time, that's not to say you can't. I've got an uncle that's adamant that he can go out and strike up a conversation with anybody and be friends with any of them by the end of the afternoon. He finds himself in a little bit more professional of an environment. And he's had to do that cold introduction for a couple decades, so got that skill under his belt. It was kind of funny the other day to see the tables turned, more or less, and just kind of how everybody has seen me as I've gone out in my better dressed attire, probably better served for places that aren't considered dive bars. But when you're going out and discovering everything, you don't know what's considered a dive bar and what's not. But out at the bar the other day, there was a lady, a looker, definitely changed the curve, the grading on a curve for everybody else in the bar. Everybody had their level of beauty, and I'm not knocking on anybody. But she was far and above more striking, stands out more so than anybody else. And apparently she'd been drinking. She was going around harassing everybody, in a general sense of the term, about whether or not they had guns. She's ragging on some British guy in from out of town about how he'd never had a gun. Ragging on someone else because they don't have guns because they got kids. And she comes up to me asking about me about guns. I'm just sitting there looking at her like, what is your deal? You think because you're some pretty lady, you can just go around and do all this? And we had our conversation about guns and what. And she stuck around for way too long talking to me. You might sit there and go, Billy, you're crazy. Beautiful woman talking to you. I say, no, this lady, out of place. I know what I look like, and I know who is out of my league. This woman, clearly out of my league, or at least me well below her league. And all I could sit there and do was think about who in this bar is watching me talk to their drunk girlfriend and is going to come out and kick my ass. Kind of an unnerving feeling for that period of time. Again, everybody else in the bar had their level of dress. I definitely was not all dressed up, not all fancied up. Might as well have been just another regular patron at the bar. And so when we go places, are we dressed in a Hawaiian shirt sticking out like a sore thumb? Or is that where the Hawaiian shirt belongs? Should you be the person in the Hawaiian shirt? Sometimes I think you should be. I think you should embrace that. I think you should embrace all of the different dress styles. Sometimes dress down, sometimes dress up. Sometimes you got to go to the grocery store in sweatpants and bunny slippers. Just what the day calls for. Sometimes, as I hear stories of the Texas women, you got to spend an hour and a half on your makeup, get all did up, just to go to Walmart. Never know who you're going to run into. Kathy from church might see you, and if you don't have your makeup all done, goodness gracious, what happened to you? Why'd you roll out of the wrong side of the bed? Not hating. It's all fun and games, but merely just a reflection, just an idea, just a thought on how clothes make the man and how our presentation is brought forward before us, before we've even spoken a word. People have undressed us and dressed us down, questioned why we chose whatever outfit, whatever silly shoes we've chosen to wear, and that at some level it all matters, and at another level it doesn't. Because clothes don't make the man or the woman. It's what's in your heart, it's in your brain, it's what's in your soul that makes you who you are and me who I am. Because me is the only person I will ever be. And whether or not I choose to wear a suit and tie, cut off jeans and a wife beater, or sweatpants and bunny slippers, I'm still going to be me out there attempting to at least jar some kind of conversation, seeing if we can all come together and at least get those gears turning. Because my name is Billy Bones, BillyBone, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. Go there, boost the toot, retweet the tweet when I send a link out for the show. Maybe I say something awesome, or you see some of those fancy pictures of, like, the guitar racks that I built not too long ago. Check those out. I've got a website, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of the E. And you can go there. You'll find links to show notes. Only one today. Nice and simple. And a value for value link. If you found value out of this podcast, be it the single episode or the entire catalog, fantastic. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else can get the gears turning, get an idea, talking point started. But if you feel this show is worth a monetary value, be that U.S. dollar or Satoshis, you're in luck. I take both of those. Go to the website, billybones.com, click the value for value link. It'll take you to PayPal. You chip in, you donate, support the show in a number that you feel is appropriate. Otherwise, if you have a podcasting 2.0 app, I take the Satoshis, the little teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin. And if you need something a little bit more physical for your value, for value exchange, go to tabletopwoodworks.com. Check out my woodworking creations, also in the show notes. But thank you very much for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.